The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you. Let's go back in our Bible, if you will, and let's notice, if you will, 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers." And I want to speak this morning on deadly wounds. Deadly wounds. I don't know if you've ever been wounded. I've had several times in my life had wounds, maybe because of a sore, maybe because of an inflicted wound, but wounded. I remember one time I came home, and I was in Bible college at the time, and I came back to the house, and we had the mailbox across the street, across the road. I lived on Maple Grove Road. We lived out in the country, so we didn't live in the city, but we lived out in the country. And I remember coming home, and I remember walking across the street, and I saw all these different bushes that began to grow up around the mailbox. And I went in, and I said, "Mom, that looks pretty bad." And she said, "You're right. I know who's taking care of it." And she said, "You'll find a machete out in the shed." And so I went out and I got the machete, and I progressed to be able to pull those weeds down in a downward fashion. And I took that machete and I started hitting, trying to get as far down as I could, hitting the roots of that so that it would be gone for a while anyway. And I had trouble getting this one across away from the mailbox, so I had this ingenious idea that I would take it and I would pull it, and I'd put my leg right there, and I was going to hit it right there, you know, and just kind of pull the weed over or pull the branch over, and, you know, just a masculine, manly type of thing. And so just pull it over, take the machete, and I was going to hit it, and I missed. And when I missed, I hit my shin bone. And boy, I went into the house, and of course, you know, my pants are saturated with the red stuff. And so I went in the house, I looked at my mother, and I said, "Mom, I think I missed." And she said, "Yeah, you did miss." And so she pulled up the pant leg and, you know, began to clean up all the mess and taped it together the best she could. But I remember that, okay? That is still a wound that I had. I remember one time, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but we used to have dirt ball fights. Anybody have dirt ball fights when you were coming up? Dirt ball fight. And they had to be boys probably to enjoy that. But I had dirt ball fights. And I tell you what, I enjoyed those dirt ball fights. But I remember one time that Dave had his fort. He was my older brother, and I had my fort. And I was invading his fort. And so I was running in full disposal. And I was getting ready to attack his fort, and he cheated a little bit. He threw a dirt ball that had a stone or a rock in it, a sharp object. And boy, that caught me right there. And it just cut me right open, sorely wounded. Cut me right open there. And I go walking in the house, and I said, "Mom, I think I got a problem." And Mom cleaned me up. Mom was a good cleaner-upper, and she cleaned me up, and she put some Band-Aids, some tape on it to kind of push that thing together a little bit. But I still got a place where there's an old scar. I've still got a place where there was a wound that was given to me, and may I say, it was a sorely given wound, and I remember that. And so I remember just different wounds that's come in my life physically. I also remember some wounds that I've received emotionally. I remember some wounds I've received spiritually. I remember some wounds that came across my life in an emotional way. And so there's different types of wounds that come. Here you'll see that Saul is out in the midst of the battle, and the Bible says that he was sore wounded of the archers. And so he had a wound. Of course, it was going to be nigh unto death. And so we understand that there was a wound. I was thinking of missionaries this morning as I was completing this message in my office early this morning. And I was thinking of missionaries and how missionaries can be compared to that which is soldiers that go into the forces that defend our nation and our freedom. And they have several things in common. You know, many times a missionary and a soldier, they'll sleep in awkward places. Sometimes the temperatures will range way up above 115 degrees or more. And I know we get that here in Texas. And so you probably at this point at least could qualify to be a missionary. But they'll sleep in high temperatures. They'll also many times have have snipers, if you will, please, that will shoot bullets that come from the enemy. Many times, of course, they'll have years and months that they spend away from their beloved friends and family. Many times they'll look at pictures at night with tears caressing down their cheek as they remember how wonderful it would be to be able to be close to the loved ones and to the family members again. They'll take and read letters, or they'll write letters even, and many times the tears will be steaming down their cheeks as they do that. Sometimes when they come back off of the field, a missionary and a soldier, if you will come back off the field and they're wounded. They've had wounds that's been injected into their life, and they come back, and sometimes it takes them years to get over it, and sometimes they're maimed, if you would please, permanently for the rest of the days of their life. Sometimes you and I will face such things. Sometimes you and I will face the physical wounds. Sometimes you and I will face, if you will please, that which is the mental wounds. Sometimes we'll face the emotional wounds. And so may I say, statement number one, deadly wounds of sacrifice. Whenever you try to live for God, sometimes there's deadly wounds of sacrifice. We try to do our best, and we try to be the best dad that we can be. We try to be the best mom that we can be. We try to be the best teenager that we can be. We try to live for God. We try to come to church. We try to obey what the preacher says from the Word of God. But sometimes in doing these things, we find out that there are some deadly wounds that come our way. Now, may I remind you, we're getting ready to, I can't give you this, but because this is vacation money, but your life is like the $100 bill I hold in my hand, okay? And when you get it from the bank, it is fresh, it is crisp, it is, if you would please, very straight. It is something that when you receive it, maybe somebody gives it to you. I know that Daniel, one of our new college students, went out the other day, and some other young man went out. Brother Butler, I think it was your son that went out, and they went out and they helped move somebody, and they expected to receive a little bit of money, and this dear person gave them each a $100 bill apiece. And so if you can't have my $100 bill, but you can get Daniel's, he'll give it to you this morning. And so, I remember being paid. And as a young man, as these young men were just the other day, money becomes something that is a precious thing to be able to use in our lives. But do you know, when God saved you, God saved you, and He saved you from that which is a world of depravity. He saved you from a life of destruction, a life, if you would please, that was going to wind up in hell. And He gave you by His grace through your faith in receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, that which is more precious than gold, that which is more precious than money. But you know, sometimes people devaluate you. Sometimes they look at you and they compare you to that which is likened unto money. But can I tell you, money within itself is the same as it always was. Now, it will lose value as far as the economy is concerned, and you may lose value as far as the world is concerned, but a $100 bill still is called a $100 bill. You can get it fresh from that which is the bank, and they'll give it to you, and it might be a new one, but it's still a $100 bill. You can get an old one, maybe 1923 or so, but it's still called a $100 bill. The world will sometimes take you, and the world will crumble you up, and the world will try to destroy you. The world will make you into a very, very small type of ball. But can I tell you, if you will please, in God's eyes, you never lose your value, because after all, a child of God is still a child of God. The world will take and they will crumble you up, and the world may stomp on you, and they may treat you very dirty, and they may take it. And by the way, children, this is how come you never put money in your mouth, okay? But the world could take and do all sorts of things, but in God's sight, you never lose value. When you're a child of God, you are always a child of God. Now, you may lose your fellowship, but you do not ever lose your relationship. So once you're saved, he gives you eternal life. You say, well, preacher, not everybody appreciates me, and not everybody pats me on the back, and not everybody encourages me. But let me encourage you this morning as a believer in Christ. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And once you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, you're bound for heaven. And though you may lose the value of the way that other people see you, in God's sight, you never lose your value. So may I say this morning, there's deadly wounds of sacrifice, and you may have made some. Maybe today you've been wounded by a friend. Maybe today you've been wounded by an enemy. Maybe today you're suffering that which is a mental woundness. Maybe today you're suffering a spiritual wound. Maybe today you're suffering that which is an emotional wound. Well, can I tell you, no matter what you're going through in your personal life, you have a God in heaven that still loves you the same. Amen. You have a God in heaven that though the world and though that which is the economical status of our society and the way that people judge people, isn't it something amazing how people judge people today? If you're living in a nice home, $300,000 plus, you're considered a success. If you drive a fancy, upper, luxurious type of vehicle, you're considered, in the world's eyes, a success. You're making 6 digits a year, in the world's eyes, you're considered pretty successful. But in God's eyes, God measures success and value on a total different level than that which the world measures. God values you not for what you do, God values you for who you are. When God looks at you as a child of God, you're still one of His children. That's how come no matter how successful you become in life, never lose sight of that He is your Father. Amen. You are His child, and He loves you as one of His children. And you go to Him when you have problems. You go to Him when you have distress. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that is there, and we ought to desire to be close to Him as He desires to be close to us. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, He says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And so He wants us to be close to Him. Now, if that is true, I've got to find out how to do it. The Bible talks here about deadly wounds of sacrifice. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've got wounds on the inside that you can't even tell your husband about. Maybe you have wounds on the inside that you cannot even begin to describe to your wife. Maybe you have wounds on the inside that me being a counselor, you would never go to and say, listen, I've got struggles, I've got wounds, I don't know how to overcome them. Maybe that's you. But can I tell you, in God's sight, you never lose your value. He's the one that you can go to when you seemingly feel like you cannot go to anybody else. He's the one that you can cry out in the midnight hour while your husband is away at work or while your wife is away. You can cry out to Him and you can come to Him. And can I tell you, there's something about talking to the Father that makes everything all right. There's something about going to Him and crying out to Him and calling upon Him that changes things in your ever-present life, because He understands you, He knows you, He has a count of every hair that's on your head, He knows where you came from, He knows where you are, He knows where you're going, and He cares about you as a human being, as an individual. You may not measure up to everybody else, but in God's sight, as a human individual, you don't lose your value. Statement number one, deadly wounds of sacrifice. Statement number two, deadly wounds of sin. You know, sometimes there are sacrifices that we do make. And because of that, there's wounds that we receive, whether right or wrong. Whether done right by us or wrong by us, we receive wounds. Whether you have sat there and said, that's right, hit me again, stab me again, pierce me again, you get wounds just by living. So there is those deadly wounds of sacrifice, but there's also deadly wounds of sin. Now, by the way, you have a choice in this one. Because nobody makes you sin. They may entice you. They may go farther and tempt you. But you're the one that chooses where you're going to step across the line or not. You're the one that chooses whether you're going to be holy as God said, be holy even as I am holy or not. You're the one that chooses whether to obey God or not. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, it says against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you are not my enemy, stay with it, and I am not your enemy. We together collectively have one enemy this morning, and that is the wicked one. The Bible says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The battle is raging. Decisions have to be made. There are deadly wounds is being inflicted upon people every day of their life. Then Paul comes back in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul comes and he says, look, I realize you're in the battle. And by the way, can I tell you something this morning? I realize you are in the battle. But can I tell you, while you're in the battle, please understand this morning that Paul said that you can endure hardness as a good soldier. It can be done. It can be done. You can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Laid hold, it says, on eternal life. He says, whereunto thou art also called, and thou hast possessed, it says, or listen to what it says, thou hast professed, it says, a good profession before many witnesses. So why is it that it's important that I endure and not, if you will please, step out and choose to commit certain sins? Because he says we ought to have a good profession. In other words, somebody needs to live in a way that it causes other people to think about Jesus Christ. So then I've got to put my life up and look at it and say, is this a stepping stone for some people to come to Christ? Or is this a stumbling block for some people to trip over, whereby they will not come to Christ? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he is after you. He does want to destroy you. I'm talking about you as an individual. We have this facade thing going on. It's this image that we want to keep. You know, we don't want anybody to think that we would ever need help because we have an image. We have our act all together. And we have this ideology, if we thought that they thought that we needed help, then we're weak. Let me kick your ideology in the rear. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all weak. And if you're saying, I need help, you're just a little bit more wiser and intelligent than the next guy that's so full of pride that he thinks he needs no help. Well, we're all weak. Come on, if I was out in the middle of the ocean, now by the way, I can't swim. I never learned how to swim. I'm 52. What do you say mercy for? But I'm 52, and you say, preacher, what are you going to do if you drown? I'm going to holler for you. But I can't swim. Now, be honest with you, I don't want to swim. I have no desire to swim. You say, isn't that going to affect you with deep sea fishing? No. They have things called life preservers today. You say, well, you know, only those that are weak wear the life preservers. Well, you know, only those that are weak go and get help. This ought to be you. Because we're all weak. See, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there is deadly... By the way, I don't care who you are this morning. You cannot raise a godly family. Stay with me now. I don't know who you think you are. But you cannot raise a godly family by yourself. Well, you know, I am self-sufficient within myself. You're the guy that drowns without a life preserver, without saying, help! You just... Three times. Then we say, where did he go? Oh, somewhere down there. By the way, how many families have you had conversation about, where did they go? Oh, somewhere down there. Because they never drop the pride long enough to get help. Well, my marriage is wrecked and it's ruined and there's just no hope. I might as well give it up. You don't have to. Well, my life is ruined and I just keep going back to the same old thing and I'm going to be destroyed if you want to. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, the Bible says, but I see another law, it says, in the members of warning against the law in my mind and bringing me, it says, into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. So you don't have to have a combatant from the outside saying, come on, sin, come on, sin, come on, sin. No, no. You have a combatant from the inside that's called your flesh. Right. And your flesh is your combatant that says, come on, go do this. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. You can do it all by yourself. Everything will be okay. And before you know it, you're ruined. Right. Now, I'm saying this. There's deadly wounds of sin. Wounds against the marriage, wounds against the family, wounds against you as an individual. Now, you ought to thank God. Are you ready? You ought to thank God that God forgives sin. Amen. By the way, you can say amen right there. I said you ought to thank God that God forgives sin. Amen. Now, he does. Be glad that God can wash away your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, the Bible says, but whosoever committeth adultery, it says, with a woman, it says, lacketh understanding. In other words, they're not all that bright. He says, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. It says, a wound and dishonor, the Bible says, shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So God says there's a wound that's brought on by immorality. Wait a minute, stop, I'm not done. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, and let thine heart decline unto her ways. It says, let not thine heart decline unto her ways. It says, go not astray in her paths, for she shall cast many, it says, she shall cast down many wounded. Now, I love you this morning, but listen to a truth. Anybody that's willing to give of themselves to one is also willing to give of themselves to another. Here's what it says. The Bible says here, it says, go not astray in her paths, and she hath cast down many wounded. The Bible says, yea, many strong men shall, it says, have been slain by her. But now, wait a minute. It says the words, again, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, it says the words of a talebearer are wounds. Well, I disagree with that. They just inserted you with a wound and you didn't know it. Talebearer. The wounds of a talebearer are wounds and they go down into innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain, it says, his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So there are those that are wounds. I'll show you something, Brother Bradley, you come at this time. There are wounds that you and I have. Now I want to show you something. It's a good truth. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7. The Bible says, and be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now here, Brother Bradley does some carpenter work from time to time. It's pretty good. And so you can go over there on the floor somewhere and just nail those in there, not all the way, because we're going to knock them out. But I want to show you something. And so here's what happens all of a sudden when wounds come in your life. There might be the wound of regret. There might be the wound of remorse. There might be the wound of a lost testimony. There might be the wound of a guilt. There might be the wound of that which is a pain. There might be the wound of a mistrust. There might be the wound of a misunderstanding. There might be the wound of that which is a hurt reputation. There might be the wound of that which is a missed opportunity. There might be the wound of a divorce. Might be the wound of a lost job. Might be the wound of a disease. Might be the wound of that which is a bad thought. Might be the wound of that which is a memory. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So all of a sudden you hear some good old-fashioned preaching, Jonathan, come. You hear some good old-fashioned preaching, kind of hold it like this, if you will. You hear some good old-fashioned preaching, somebody comes up and they tell you a truth. Keep your fingers out of the way, if you like them. And all of a sudden you hear some good old-fashioned preaching and all of a sudden those nails start coming out, one by one. You say, I'm going to get rid of that. I see that, and by the way, that's why you need a church that has good old-fashioned preaching. Well, I like to join that church because the music moves me. You don't need to join a church because the music moves you. Well, I'm going to join that church because after all, everybody else smiles. You can get that from the grocery store. The lady had thought she'd pay more but paid less. Well, you know, preacher, I'm going to take and I'm going to join a church because after all, that church, no. Join a church that will help you. Join a church where the preacher preaches and all of a sudden you've been driving sin into your life. Thank you, fellas. You've been driving sin in your life and sin in your life and sin in your life for so long. And all of a sudden the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches the Bible. And when he does, you say, I need to get rid of that in my life. You decide you're going to get rid of it. The only problem, you live with the wounds. You always remember. You look back and say, boy, I got hurt back then. You know, some people don't trust people today because they got hurt by a person. That's called a wound. You know, some people, if you would please, don't trust the Lord today because they've been disappointed in the Lord. Well, you know, I prayed that prayer. You know, some of you, I love you in the Lord, but some of you are not faithful to church, to other services. Because somewhere in your life, you got hurt in another church, and so you'll take it out on every other church that you attend. Can I tell you, I love you? That's called a wound. And until you go to God, and get God to help you with that wound. Those things will haunt you to your dying day. You may be in your 20s right now and you got a wound. If you don't get over it, friend, I'm telling you, you're going to have it when you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I love you, but here's what you need to do. You need to get alone with God and let God help you with your wound. Because only God can help you with your wound. Only God can help you to overcome your wound. And it's statement number one, there's deadly wounds of sacrifice. There are deadly wounds of sin. Last statement, I'm done. There are deadly wounds of the Savior. Well, thank God he was wounded for me. Thank God he was wounded for you. Oh, come on, look. I'm the preacher at Parkside Baptist Church, yay. But I'm not worth spit. And dear friend, neither are you, and we both deserve to die and burn in hell if it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the preacher's not more important than you. Well, he's the man of God. Now, I'm not taken from that. And I do believe you ought to give honor to whom honor's due. I'm not taken from that. But I want you to understand that I have to partake of the grace of God just like you have to partake of the grace of God. You have to understand that we don't have any powder puffs in here. Well, you know, I think I'm somebody. The Bible says you're probably going to fall. Now, let me give you this. I'm done. You ready? Here it is. Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 5. You'll like this if you look at it. Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5, here's what it says. But he was wounded. He, that's our Lord Jesus. The Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Listen to it now. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now listen to the last verse, last portion of verse, you don't like it. It says, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. He says, I want to tell you something. I was wounded for you. I took the pain for you. I was the one. Okay, can I show you something? Can I show you something? I've got wounds. I don't know what to do with them. What do I do? I realize that every wound that I have, our Lord Jesus has also suffered for me. You ever get wounded and you feel alone? Well, preacher, I'm wounded. I feel all by myself. The Bible says that he had things common with you, such as common to all men. There's not one thing that you are, am, or will be going through that Christ does not identify with. And he said, I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are today. He said, the wounds that you have, I don't care how deep they are, how wide they are, where they come from, who gave them to you. He said, I was wounded for your transgression. Amen. He said, and inside of me, stop, listen to what it says. He says, you can be healed. Amen. Hey, I said it a few moments ago. Here's a person, sin. All of a sudden they come to Jesus Christ and they say, I need you as my Savior. I can't trust myself. Sin. Every time I do, I mess up. Sin. Can't trust myself. And then they come to Jesus Christ and he covers you with his blood. Now you say, well, what now? I'm a child of God. I still sin. Well, welcome to the human race, neighbor. You're not going to be perfect. Well, I tried and failed. Might as well throw the bike away. You don't do that. You treat your bike better than you treat the Lord. Well, I tried and failed. Tried to start the car and it didn't work. Might as well take it to the junkyard. You don't do that. You take it to the mechanic. That car cost you $20,000. It didn't start one time, and you're going to take it to a junkyard. No, here's what you do. You get help. You get help. And can I tell you this morning, there's nobody that can help you with a wound like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody. Well, I'm failing as a husband. I'm failing as a daddy. I'm failing as a person. I'm bitter. Somebody hurt me. Now, the easiest way for me to combat that is say, get over it. But when we come to a Bible truth, it should be more like this. Go to the one that can help you get over it. Because you can't get over it by yourself. Come on. Somebody takes a baseball bat. They come up and they say, I just want to tell you how I feel. They take their baseball bat and they and they walk away saying, boy, I felt good about that. But you that got hit, you didn't feel too good about that. You got one of two choices. You can pick up the baseball bat and go after them. Come here, buddy. Or you could say, his grace is sufficient for me. God, I need you to help me. Work in my life. Teach me something out of this. By his wounds, ye are healed. You know, sometimes we have, and I'm done, but sometimes we have those self-proclaimed pity parties. And we're pretty good at it. Matter of fact, if you're not careful, you can think up 1,000 as to why you deserve to have one. But you know, that's not really the way a Christian should behave. The way a Christian should behave is great peace, have love, that law, and nothing, okay, come here, Brother Nash, offend me. Do something to offend me.
Your mother wears combat boots.
He said, my mother wears combat boots. Okay. Now, what I could say, well, let me tell you about your mother. Your mother has colored hair. It's not even her hair. Huh. Then he comes back.
Your mother's so fat. No, I won't say.
That's the way we want to be. Come on, isn't that true? That's the way we want to be. Okay? But if he comes up and he says, your mother wears combat boots, can you come shine them? God bless you, man.
Yes, sir.
Don't get offended. He comes up and he says something mean about me. Go ahead. Shoot it.
Your Bible is liberal. It should be a different color. I don't like you. It should match your tie. How unsad. I can't believe that. I'm so offended. I can't believe that your Bible doesn't match your tie.
Hey, thank you so much. I've been praying for a new Bible. Would you buy me one that would match my tie? Thank you. Matter of fact, would you buy me a tie and match my Bible? Hey, I need a suit too. Shoes, socks.
That match the tie.
Shirt. Yeah, can you do it? Okay. You don't have to be offended. You don't have to be offended. You know? Why do you take offense? Why do you do that? Don't do that. That's childish, immature. Don't do that. Now, wait a minute. Thank you. Be seated. I'm done. Wounds. Might be mental. Might be spiritual, might be emotional wounds. Might be today that you've been living this life and say, I'm trying to go to heaven, but I'll never make it by yourself. You're right. Because only through Christ can Christ forgive you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.